This is Fresh Air. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. Forget Hollywood. The world's biggest film industry isn't in America. It's in India, where more than 800 films are produced each year, and Bombay is the industry's headquarters. The kinds of movies that are produced in Bombay, which is known as Bollywood, are lavish productions with campy, convoluted plots, romance, adventure, intrigue, violence, sex, and lots of songs. Filmmaker Blondie Singh has made his share of those movies and now has come out with a wacky satire of popular Indian cinema called, appropriately enough, Bollywood. He's taken all the clichés and multiplied them tenfold. And besides being the movie's director, Singh co-wrote the screenplay, designed the production, and portrays the bloodthirsty villain with great gusto, I might add. Every Bollywood production has a set formula, which Singh knows only too well.
First, you need to have 7 to 8 hit songs.
Okay.
First and foremost.
Okay.
Yeah. The music has got to be bagged, and it's got to be hit songs. Then you have to have, it has to run at least 2 hours and 40 minutes. They feel gypped if the film is just 1.5 hours.
That's pretty long by American standards, then.
Two hours and 40 minutes. You're right. You give them a film that's, American standards meaning 100-minute picture, they feel gypped.
Yeah.
You can see the, exclamation of the ha of the audience when the certificate from the Indian censors comes on and it says how many reels, And if it says 13 reels, they go, oh, no. And if it says 18 reels, they go, wow.
All right, so we have the music, we have the time. What else is part of this formula?
Then, of course, you got to have scintillating, gyrating, dancing heroines, that have to be buxom and, they have to look like twice as fat as a normal Indian woman because Indians are generally thin. So they like the heroes and heroines really, stacked.
Well, they also seem to like their women wet.
Yeah, wet. I don't know. I think India's a hot country. They love being they love being wet.
And by wet, I mean heroines in downpours, right?
Yeah, well, because, the censors won't allow us really to, cross a certain line. So we have to really stimulate our imagination constantly. And the best way to do is, get a chiffon sari, that clings to the girl's body and get her wet. And they just tell the censor, I'm sorry, it started raining, it's natural. But
all right, but, let's move. How about our heroes? What do they need to be?
Well, the heroes have to be very, they have to look a little girly, They have to have a cross-dresser, He has to be fair. He has to be tall. He has to be hopefully muscular, sensitive to the girls. Similar heroes like they are here. But there's a definite look. I would say more like a Daniel Day-Lewis look.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. And now moving on to our villains.
Yes. Villains have to be, sneering and leering and typical James Bond villains, I would say. That's the classic Indian villain. But James Bond villain has a little more sophistication. He's out to, take the world or something. Here, it's more provincial. He's out to take the city or, the smuggling trade or... And of course, he has to be able to rape 6 women in every movie. That's very important.
What's their reaction when they see a rape scene in a film?
I don't know. I don't know what the censors are trying to portray over here. That you can't kiss a girl, but you can rape her. I don't understand that.
Well, what does the audience want? Because what we're learning,
escape, in a very short. The audience wants escape. They want to dream with their eyes open because life is harsh and tough and there's so many people, there's such intense competition that you're never, a poor rickshaw driver is never going to become, the prince or the director of the corporation and have the best-looking heroine in his arms and a Mercedes in the driveway and a villa on the beach. You know, that's not going to happen to him. And but this happens to him. He goes 3 hours into the movie and he totally gets into the character. And it's air conditioned. It's 104 degrees outside. And, it's all for 10 cents. And it's quite a fantasy. You know, it's very much what films were in the, what they did in the silent era here or even before that. You know, when you looked into peepholes and hand cranked things and got way into that fantasy, which has become just more sophisticated today.
But, so most, most people then in India can afford to go to the movies?
Yes, I think most people can afford to go. Even the common laborer can really afford to go to the movies, and they do go to the movies. And that's why there's such a large, you know, numbers of people and such a large number of films that are produced every year.
My guest is Blondie Singh, and he's a producer, he's the co-writer, production designer, and an actor in a new film called Bollywood. It's a real send-up of the popular Indian films that are made about 800 times a year. We're going to take a very short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is filmmaker Blondie Singh, and his film Bollywood has just come to the States. Now, have you made the kinds of movies that you're satirizing in Bollywood?
Yeah, I have, actually. I have, and I have a lot of fun doing them also. And I always did them with great sense of humor. Even the, you know, and I was always dubbed as the guy, you know, who couldn't really do a serious scene, really serious. But, yeah, I have, you know, I'm one of the, I have been one of the dream merchants, I think so, for Bollywood.
And you've sat in the audience with people watching your movies?
Yeah, I've sat in the audience, you know, because I was once an audience myself as a teenager. I was exactly what, you know, I was watching four films a day, you know, running from one theater to the other through the, you know, pouring downpour of a monsoon thunder shower, trying to catch a running bus because there was only 15 minutes between the shows. And I had to make it cross town, you know. It was, and this is what I see, the experience. I see why, you know, now that I'm a little far away from it, but I see, you know, it is, it's, you know, it's like food almost. You know, it satisfies an incredible craving. And I almost say that, you know, movies in India are the opiate of the masses.
So do audiences behave differently when they're watching an American film?
Yeah, they do, actually. They're not as as physically graphic and mobile and vocal. And they're more sort of sitting back and wondering what is going on, you know. What is this phenomenon? Some, of course, they're dazzled by the wizardry of Hollywood, you know, which... today is going to change the whole, because India is now getting, you know, Star TV, and it's getting satellite, and it's getting incredible amount of programming from Baywatch to Dynasty to, you know, to I Love Lucy. And so, you know, it'll make the local industry more technically competent to produce more slicker, higher quality products than they are doing right now.
Well, certainly comparing the technical differences between the two kinds of films, in your film, the lip syncing is just slightly off.
Right, that's intentional.
Well, I got the feeling that it was the sound effects are not quite right.
Yeah, right, right.
They're
right.
Slightly...
Well, because they're never quite right, you know. They're never quite right. And I think that's just part of being askew, you know what I mean? They're... you can go see any picture over there. There's, you know, there's always the lip sync is never quite right. The dishoom comes kind of, you know, a flick of a second later than the thud lands. And then there's, you know, there's always some flashing or something that the lab is, you know, is messed up. And, you know, the way the camera moves, the way the editing is done, and the way the lighting, you know, the lighting is all flat and glossy. You know, we light... for exposure, you know, we don't light for creativity and shadows and grays and, you know, and depth of field and all. We just light so that we get a good exposure so we can get, you know, 300 prints off the negative.
Let me ask you about how you got into filmmaking. And I understand that your great-grandfather had a studio back at, what, almost the
in
turn
nine,
of the...
1904.
Right, just about the turn of the century.
That's
was he
right.
one of the early filmmakers in India?
That's right. He actually started as a photographer. But in those days, you know, they used to write artists and photographers because a lot of photography was really hand-touched. Especially color, etc., you know. So that's where they used to write artists and photographers. And he had his business in Calcutta in those days. And Calcutta was the major city of India at that time. This is before Delhi became capital in the 20s, actually. And Calcutta was actually also the birthplace of Indian cinema. And he had a studio, and then later on he... made silent pictures, which he played actually in his own theater, where silent eras with the musicians in the foreground, live music, etc. And the women in those days were not allowed to go to the theater. It was sort of a masses kind of entertainment. And my great-grandmother was a great fan of cinema, so she would tell my grandfather that he had to bring the projector home for all the women or he wouldn't get dinner and show the picture to the girls. And he would bring his projectionist, the guy who would probably crank 24 whatever frames, and he would play the violin himself while this little, 10-minute film would play on the screen.
When did you get interested in making films? Were you influenced at all by your great grandfather?
Yeah, I think I was really actually influenced by my mother, who was brought up by my great grandmother, and so had spent most of her time in movie theaters with her. So my mother was a real movie buff, and even as a kid, I remember sitting next to her, and she would always watch these tragedy movies because Indians are dealing with a lot of tragedy in their everyday life. And she would be crying all the time watching this movie while she's sewing a sweater in the dark. And I wouldn't be watching the screen. I'd be more watching her and crying. You know, her emotions were far more intense than that screen. But, she influenced me a lot. And I think that I had a choice between my father's side of the profession, and who's a politician, and my mother's side, so I chose my mother's side.
Was that a difficult choice for you at all?
It was, actually, because films in India still don't have that, they have that stigma of being a kind of a Barnum and Bailey, you know, not a serious profession, and more for the, you know, misfits and the outcasts, et cetera, you know, the stigma.
Where did you get your training? Your training in directing films, and you write and you do design as well.
Right. Well, I went to school here in at the San Francisco Art Institute initially, and then I went to Brooks Institute of Photography in Santa Barbara, and the rest I pretty much picked up through my working and experience and my curiosity and desire. You know, film is a profession, you know, like any other profession. It's a lifelong profession. And everything takes very long in this to gestate. You know, pictures take two years to make, and sometimes even longer. In India, average film takes 3 years to finish.
What American films do you like?
I'm actually a fan of action-adventure. You know, I liked all the... if I tell you, people, what a taste this guy's got.
Well, go ahead.
But, you know, I like, you know, the vanilla chocolate ice cream kind of movies, you know, James Bond, Indiana Jones, Romancing the Stone, you know, Ganga Din, Khyber Rifles, I like that, those kind of pictures. I hope to someday, you know, make those kind of films.
What's your next project?
Actually, my next project is Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. As an independent, you know, nothing to do with Disney or Disney's story or anything like that. It's more to do with the original story from The Thousand and One Nights. And it's a live action adventure story. Colorful costumes, Taj Mahal palaces, and swashbuckling heroes, and, you know, doe-eyed heroines, and songs, and magic, and
sounds like Bollywood style. Yes. Yeah.
No. I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to, this would be my show. This is like a crossover, but my next one would be more like my showpiece that I can show Hollywood and say, listen, I can do as good a job as you guys. After my kids and all are born here and they all go to school and all over here. So if I can entertain them, then I pretty much can entertain the kids and adults of America.
Indian filmmaker Blondie Singh. Here's a scene from Singh's film Bollywood where the hero goes to visit his mother and sister.
Remember your gallant father who died in the line of duty?
I pledge on my dead father's soul that I will bring all evildoers to justice and marry off his daughter to a good family boy.
Hiya!
Oh, my loving sister, how are your studies progressing?
With a brother like you, everything progresses very well.
We are one small happy family. We live and love together. We are one small happy family in sunshine and bad weather.
This is Fresh Air.